Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Jesus did not die accidentally. Every detail of his sacrifice was predetermined before time began. And we who believe in Christ look to his cross with deep humility and say with Thomas, "My Lord and my God." From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. It was God's greatest moment, the cross of Christ, where fallen humanity can find eternal life. Erwin Lutzer today concludes his message, Dying a Winner, explaining what we can see at the cross, the symbol of God's grace.
You have also the love of God. What does it say in John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave. God says this is an expression of the fact that I can love at high cost. It's so easy to say to somebody, I love you. But you know, of course, that proof of that is sacrificial action. And God says not just, I love you, because talk is cheap. He says, I love you, and I'm proving it. I'm giving you my son. And then we can see the power of God at the cross. You see, because Jesus Christ was put into a tomb and then he was raised. And the Bible talks about the power of God, and it's not just the physical power of God raising a body from the dead. Jesus had already done that in his own ministry in the resurrection of Lazarus. There was more involved than that. It's because, you see, Satan wanted to keep Christ dead, because it says in the book of Hebrews that he has the power of death. That is, the devil has the power of death. He wanted to keep Jesus there. He inspired those people to put a stone over the tomb. And he says, set a guard there. Make sure that he doesn't get out. He's dead, but let's keep him dead. And Jesus, in a tremendous victory over those evil forces, was raised from the dead. And then he was ascended into heaven and seated at the right hand of God the Father, so that the entire universe would marvel at the awesome, awesome power of God. Undisputed power. And did you know that every time somebody is saved, if you're visiting with us here today, I want you to know that we here at the Moody Church believe it is possible for people to be saved. And we claim that we are saved because of God's mercy and grace. But every time somebody is saved, God's creative power goes to work and does a miracle. It says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Did you know that God's creative activity when you accepted Christ as your Savior was just as much involved in your conversion as the creation of the sun, the moon, the stars? That's right. The same creative act of God. That's why the Bible talks about salvation as resurrection. It talks about a new creation. It's because God does a miracle. He creates something out of nothing and gives us a new nature within. So the cross magnifies the power of God. It magnifies the wisdom of God. Just think this through. Just think this through. Isn't the cross the greatest crime that has ever been committed on planet Earth? Taking an innocent person, not giving him a trial, somebody who did nothing but good, and then cruelly nailing him to the cross and then mocking him while he's dying? I mean, how low down can you get? Somebody who incidentally happened to be the Son of God too, and who did a whole host of miracles to prove it. The cross is terrible. And yet, think of what God did with it. He made something so glorious that we sing, in the cross of Christ I glory. Paul says, God forbid that I should glory except in the cross. Paul says, I don't have anything to boast about except I love to boast about the cross. Paul, you're telling me that you love to boast about this hideous crime? Yep, sure do. It's the greatest thing that ever happened on planet Earth. Now listen, it takes a God to take a mess and a crime like the cross and turn it into such a river of blessing that throughout tens of centuries, people would still sing about it and cling to the goodness of the cross and be lost in its wonder and grace. It takes a God to take the Gentiles and Herod and Pilate and all of those people to have their wills so converge that what they are doing, they think they are doing it simply because they want to do it, and lo and behold, they are crucifying Jesus Christ at exactly the right time that God had predicted. In fact, he died when the Passover lambs were being slain, right at the very moment that God wanted him to die. No human being can pull that off. It's the wisdom and the grace and the power of God. That's why Paul says in Ephesians 2 that throughout all of eternity, when we are in heaven, we're going to be God's showpiece, so that throughout all the ages, people may marvel at the wisdom of God. He pulled it off. Lastly, and of course, summing it all up, there is the glory of God that is seen in the cross. The word glory means weight or heaviness of God. We speak about there being a weighty topic that's being discussed. Well, God is weighty. He is what this universe is all about. And in the cross, therefore, all of his attributes have come into focus. You know, it's interesting that when the Bible talks about the creation of the stars, what does it say? It says that the stars were made with his fingers. Just went like this, and then he went like that, and there were hundreds of billions of stars. In Isaiah 52, verse 10, when it speaks about salvation, it says, "The Lord has laid forth and bared his mighty arm." He's made it bare because God is using his arm. If I may put it somewhat imprecisely, but I think you'll get the point, there was more of God seen at the cross than in creation. And God was on display. There was a tangle that no one could possibly untangle, and then God came and pulled it off. You know, I read this story in Luke, and I am reminded of something. But before I tell you what I'm reminded of, I do need to throw in a footnote here that you should remember. I have never yet seen anyone die who did not die looking gruesome. You look at Jesus Christ's death here on the cross, it was not a pretty picture. It's not the kind of thing that I like to see. I don't like to see suffering. I don't like to see pain. I don't like to see people in anguish. But you see, that's what we see. Just like there are all kinds of things going on in the spirit world here, when Jesus dies in weakness and shame and humiliation, in the very same way when a believer in Jesus Christ dies, I wish that we could see them 5 minutes after they had died, and we'd be absolutely overwhelmed with the contrast. We'd say, you know what, we're seeing isn't reality at all. God would say, yeah, that's right, it's not reality. This is what's happening on earth, but if your eyes were opened and you saw the spirit world, you'd be rejoicing that this person was taken to glory. It's a matter of perspective, isn't it? But now back to the text. Do you know that humanity is divided into two huge groups, and the groups are not men and women, though there are important distinctions between men and women? The two groups are not blacks and whites. The two groups are not rich and poor, educated, uneducated, east versus west. All of those divisions are interesting, but not determinative. But the human race is divided into two groups. And those two groups are epitomized here by the two people who are crucified with Jesus Christ. On the one hand, you have one man deriding Christ and saying, if you're the Son of God, do something. Just like some of the people with whom you work down in the loop. Well, if God is God, then why doesn't he do something about what's happening in the Middle East? Why doesn't he do something about Africa? Why doesn't he do something about all of the earthquakes and the floods? I mean, you believe in God? Well, where is he? Why doesn't he come and save himself and us? Well, that's one segment of humanity. Then there's another segment of humanity that says, we are receiving what we deserve for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. And he was saying, Jesus, remember me. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus turns to him and says, truly, truly, I say to you, today, you shall be with me in paradise. And there's Jesus Christ dying on that cross, and on one side there is someone who's saying, if you're the Son of God, do something. If you're as big as you think you are, then what's wrong? And there you have another man saying, I'm a sinner. Oh, God, remember me. And Jesus said that you're going to die today, and we're going to be together in paradise. I marvel at the faith of this man. To put so much confidence in somebody who was in a position that was as bad as his own. Jesus didn't look any better than the other two guys who were dying. He probably looked worse, more helpless. And he says, though he's dying or not, I'm going to believe in him anyway. I'm not going to take a look at what he looks at physically. I'm just going to believe that he's the Son of God, and I'm going to trust him no matter how much of a failure he seems to be at this moment. And Jesus said, you're in the kingdom, friend. We'll be together in paradise. What about you today? I wish I could tell you that when Jesus died on the cross, he reconciled all of humanity to himself. He did not. There is no question but that there are only few people, proportionately, on planet Earth who will take advantage of Christ. Do you know that there are a lot of people who say to themselves, I've been baptized in the church, I've been confirmed by the church, I have sung in choirs, I have given money, and they will be excluded from the kingdom because they do not understand the nature of what happened at the cross. They think that it's going to come through all that ways, that if they contribute their part and then God comes along and contributes his part and they punt the ball to his mercy, they're going to be in. No way. The only ones who are saved are those who say, oh God, I'm so helpless, I can't save myself. You don't accept human righteousness. I look to Jesus Christ alone. Oh, remember me when you come into your kingdom. I will believe in him. In California some time ago, there was a man who was speeding, was taken to court, and he pleaded guilty. The judge issued a sentence, and after the judge issued the sentence, he went around and stood with a man and paid the sentence for him. And that's what the gospel is all about.
My friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. What about you? Have you believed on Jesus Christ, or are you bringing your righteousness into the throne room, so to speak, hoping that God would accept what you have done? No, he accepts only what his Son has done. And that's why you desperately need his Son. Believe on him and be saved. If that hasn't happened, or if you are unsure as to whether or not you have believed, do it right now. If God has talked to you, you talk to God. Well, I've written a booklet entitled God's Hidden Agenda, Uncovering His Good Plan in an Evil World. And I wrote this booklet so that we might better understand the sovereignty of God, the fact that he has evil under control, and that we must recognize that that plan is being implemented from eternity past to eternity future. For a gift of any amount, this booklet can be yours. I think it will help you to understand and build faith in the eternal God.
Pastor Erwin Lutzer, wrapping up his message, Dying a Winner, A Visit to the Cross. Next time on Running to Win, you'll hear about three men who chose God's way over their own way in times of trial. Join us for Souls in Conflict. Pastor Lutzer has written a booklet called God's Hidden Agenda, Uncovering His Good Plan in an Evil World. He calls it a 30,000-foot look at the history of salvation. We'd like to send this as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. For details, call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.